Good evening. We welcome each one of you to our worship service this evening. We especially welcome the visitors that are amongst us. We have a special meeting this evening. Brother Ray and Sister Sharon testify on how God has worked in their life. As I was thinking about that this afternoon, it kept coming to my mind about Moses and Miriam, how they broke into song when they saw the mighty works that God has done in their life. Tells us in Exodus, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." After Moses' song, his sister Miriam says, "The prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them and said, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea." I trust each one of us here in the auditorium this evening have experienced that in their life at some point. You saw God's hand at work, and you couldn't help but give praise. You couldn't help but glorify him, and you couldn't help but to break forth into song. The announcements for the evening are much the same as this morning. I know of no others. Please keep Sister Anna Mae Mummert in your prayers as she deals with cancer. Continue to pray for Sister Shirley Myers also. Faye Kraut will be going for gallbladder surgery tomorrow. Any changes in the directory need to be given to Sister Shelva Hoover by November 3rd. There's prayers meeting Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock in this place. Are there any other announcements or prayer requests or praises that you would like to share with us? Hearing now, Brother Adam Lehigh has consented to lead us in our opening devotions this evening.
Good evening. I greet you in Jesus' name. And if you would, turn with me to Psalm 66. We've been asked to read the first five verses there. Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. I think we could also say how awesome he is in his doing. And the psalmist goes on in the next few verses to tell one of the stories of God's works. And it's the same story that was just read for us. So as we are gathered tonight to hear another one of those stories, I hope also that we can join in the kind of praise and song and worship that the psalmist was referring to here. So would you join me as we pray?
I want to say good evening to each of you. Tonight, Sharon and I want to share how God was awesome in his deeds towards us. We want to speak praise to his name. We desire that this be a service of worship to God. Sharon was diagnosed with triple negative disease. It's an aggressive cancer that does not respond to the normal three medications to treat it, and that's why it's called triple negative. They diagnosed it to be large in size, They put a chemo port in her during surgery. And after surgery, when they reviewed the pathology report, they were astonished. The cancer was not there. God had healed her. No chemo was needed. God is good. My motive for sharing, in Luke 8, we see Jesus perform a miracle of calming a storm. Luke 8, verse 25, it shared the disciples' testimony about this event. They said, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Notice that the testimony didn't focus on them. The testimony really wasn't even focusing on the wind and the rain. What was the testimony about? What manner of man is this? The testimony focused on this God-man, Jesus. The wind and the waves were but adjectives to describe the greatness of Jesus. Tonight, this testimony isn't about Sharon and me and the cancer. It's about our awesome God, and we want to give him the glory. Psalm 150 says, "Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty expanse, praise him for his mighty deeds." I want to take this time to thank those of you at Pleasant Hill who prayed for us. Sharon and I, we sensed that you took it personal. We sensed you love us, and we sensed you prayed much for us. Also, thanks need given to those from other congregations. I know it was announced that other brethren and Dunkard churches, many of you prayed for us and sent us notes, so thank you. We also want to thank those who gathered together to pray for us. Here at Pleasant Hill, I know there were small groups on a Wednesday evening. You prayed fervently for us. My extended family, they got together to pray, and they prayed for the situation with my mom and dad. They prayed for Sharon's cancer. Thank you. There was a group that met back at Andy's barn to pray about the two situations that Sharon and I faced. And so we are so thankful for all the prayers. Sharon and I, we faced a double burden with her cancer and with my mom and dad's situation. But God's grace was greater. He giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiplies trials, he multiplied peace. Sharon, I want to testify that happened with us. We were burdened with the news of the triple negative disease, burdened with the struggles my mom and dad were in. And we needed a miracles. And God gave grace. He helped us. He performed miracles with our burdens. I remember the day I got a phone call at work from Sharon. Now, usually when I'm at work and I got a phone call, it's bad news. But this time, it was good news. She was so excited about what God did. And when I got home, she said, "Ray, I feel like I need to stand on the rooftop and tell everybody what God did for me." So tonight, Sharon, I'm going to invite you up here to the rooftop.
Well, I don't feel very comfortable here tonight. I think this is more scary than my surgery. I want to start with some background information. Some of you may not be aware that 26 years ago, I had breast cancer. And I have been seeing Dr. Mudge on a regular basis since then and getting yearly mammograms. This past January, when I saw Dr. Mudge, she recommended that an MRI should be done in addition to my regular mammograms, not because she suspected a problem, but because I qualified, meaning that our insurance would cover it. Ray and I weren't sure at first if I should do that, but we decided to follow through with that. I had that MRI on June 17th. About a week later, I was called and told that they found two suspicious spots and that I needed to have an MRI biopsy. That always causes an uneasy feeling when you hear that. But I really wasn't worried. After all, over the past 26 years, I've had several times when this happened, and every time I got a good report. Dr. Mudge called me with the results of the biopsy. She told me it was cancer, and that I had triple negative disease, and it was invasive. She explained that I would need to have a lumpectomy to remove the tumor and then follow up with chemotherapy. She also said that God had been with me. If I wouldn't have had the MRI till my next mammogram appointment scheduled in December, it would not have been good. And to think that 2 weeks before my appointment, I was actually thinking of calling and canceling it. I thought to myself, why am I doing this? It always ends up not being anything to be concerned about. But God had his hand in it. For some reason, I never made that phone call to cancel it. At the time when I received the results, there was a lot of stress in our life. I was on jury duty, which really was a stretching experience for me. We were dealing with some other family issues that some of you know about that were pretty emotionally draining. So when I got the diagnosis, I just felt numb. I wondered, what was God doing? How much more was he going to ask me to go through? How could I carry so many burdens at one time? That evening, we were going to visit Ray's mom in the nursing home. We stopped at Dollar General store first, and there in the parking lot, we met Luke and Jerusha. Luke came over to me and asked me how I was. How do you answer a question like that when you just found out you have cancer? Luke and Jerusha had prayer with us right there in the parking lot. What a blessing to be a part of the body of Christ in this body here with people who care for us. A date was set for surgery. I was going to have the tumor removed and then do chemotherapy. 2 days before my surgery, I was in Walmart in the card section when I received a call from Dr. Mudge. At the same time, there was another lady in the same aisle, and I believe she could tell from the conversation that something was wrong. She stood there the whole time, acting like she was looking at cards, but I think she was listening. Dr. Mudge told me that she had presented my case to the tumor board, which is a group of doctors who look at cases and decide what is the best treatment. She said it was really hard to have to call me that day, but things look worse than she previously thought. They were recommending a mastectomy. She described it as a nightmare. Obviously, getting that news was upsetting, and when I got off the phone, I started crying. My surgery was canceled, and more tests were needed. The lady that was there in the card section came over to me and asked if I needed help. So I told her what I had just found out, and she asked if she could pray for me. She put her arms around me and prayed for me right there in Walmart. Once again, God was meeting my needs. He had someone there just when I needed comfort. That phone call was a hard blow to me. Probably harder on me than the first phone call. I felt devastated. It looked so huge and overwhelming. How was I going to go through all of this on top of everything else we were dealing with? That evening, we had a previously planned prayer meeting with our extended family to pray for Ray's dad. What perfect timing. After our time of prayer for Ray's dad, they also spent time in prayer for me. Once again, God provided just what I needed at the time I needed it. Isn't his timing amazing? After another meeting with the doctor, my surgery was rescheduled for several weeks later. And during that time, you all were praying for me. I felt God's presence with me. He gave me peace and comfort that I can't explain. Thank you so much for bearing our burdens with us. Your prayers, your cards, your texts, and phone calls meant so much to me. Even the songs which were sung the first Sunday morning after my diagnosis were so meaningful. One of those songs was, "I Must Tell Jesus." We sang that this morning. Many times when we go through trials, God speaks encouragement to us. Sometimes he does it through a song or a Bible verse or even a sermon. But what happened to us was so different. The day before my surgery here at church, when I went out to the car, a sister was talking to Ray. She gave me a hug and said, "It be good." I kind of thought it was a strange comment. She told me later that the imperfect phrase threw her for a loop, wondering what it meant. She said she was thinking, what will be good? Was it healing? She realized she didn't need to understand the meaning, just pass it on. My surgery was August 19th. I was to be at the hospital by 10 a.m. and was told surgery would take 4.5 hours. I felt so much peace that morning when I got up. I knew God was with me and would be with me no matter what was ahead for me. Surgery was Monday, and I was back home Tuesday morning by 10:45. Later that week, on Friday, I received a call from Dr. Mudge. She said she had my pathology report. She said, and I quote, "Sharon, I am speechless. There was no cancer found in your lymph nodes, and there was no cancer found in the breast tissue. I am speechless, Sharon. Your cancer is gone." I answered, "Praise the Lord." After getting off the phone with her, I just felt like I had to shout it from the rooftop. That's why I'm standing here tonight. God is good. He answered your prayers. The next week, at an office visit with Dr. Mudge, she walked into the room and she handed me papers and she said, "Here's your awesome report. I can't explain it, but I think you can." I said, "Yes, I can." She said, "You have someone looking out for you." I was then referred to an oncologist, Dr. Martyr. She would be the one who would determine if I still needed chemo. When I saw her, she said that chemo wasn't needed because the size of the tumor was 2 millimeters. Anything under 5 millimeters doesn't need chemo. The doctors thought they were looking at an area 7 to 8 millimeters. Ray told her that a lot of people were praying for me. She said, "I believe in God too, and this is a miracle." She asked if I had any questions. I said, "Yes, when can I get rid of this chemo port?" She replied, almost in an apologetic way, "Well, we put the chemo port in right away so everything would be ready to start." And then a miracle happened. She told me Dr. Mudge talked to her about my case and told her that when she got the pathology report, she was so surprised, she went back to the pathology department and told them to go over it again, slice by slice. It was so neat to hear a medical professional give God credit for healing. So in the past couple of weeks, I find myself praising God for his goodness and his blessing upon me. But I also find myself asking some questions. Why did God choose to heal me and not others? I certainly don't feel worthy of it. Why me? I don't understand it. But I know I need to give God praise whenever he gives me opportunity. Thank you so much for your prayers, love, and concern shown to me. Please join us in giving all the praise to God. He deserves it all. Thank you.
Sharon asked that we praise God together, so I'm going to ask Alex, would you please lead a song of praise together?
Number 113 in the Green Book. Number 113. To God be the glory, great things he had done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done.
Another God moment that happened to us, and we want to give God glory for, happened in the recovery room. At this point, Sharon didn't have anything to eat for about 20 hours, and she was hungry. Now, hunger in this situation is very unusual, because when you're under anesthesia for over 4 hours, patients usually have pretty bad nausea. So at 8 o'clock, I was with her in recovery, and we asked the nurse if Sharon could have something to eat. And the nurse said, well, the cafeteria was closed. But she told Sharon, but I have a meal in the fridge. Do you want it? And Sharon said, yes. And later she brought a meal. It was in a sealed box, a meal of beef, snap peas, and rice with sauce. And later, as I sat there, I heard that nurse talking to another nurse. And I heard her say, when the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. And for some reason, the thought came to me, did she give Sharon her own food? And so when she came back, we asked her if she gave Sharon her own food. And she said, yes. She said that the Lord prompted her this morning to bring extra food in. And she said, and when the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. Later, they took Sharon out of recovery and up to her regular room. And the nurse from that floor told Sharon, now you're going to be on a clear liquid diet because of the nausea. And Sharon explained with a smile that she already had a full meal in recovery and she feels fine. I've seen God moments in this situation as well as the situation with my dad. And Brother Dave and I, we had been talking with each other about these God moments. And we decided, we came to the conclusion that even in everyday life, when we're not going through trials, there are God moments happening. We just aren't looking for them. The reason I connected the dots with the food is I was looking for it. We were going through a trial. But God is in our everyday life. He just isn't there in our trials. And I really believe, brothers and sisters, in our everyday times, if we look for God's hand, we will see it. I encourage us, the little things of life, let's pray. If you're lost and you can't find something, pray. Pray for help if you lost your keys. Pray for help to remember something you forgot. I want to assure you, you will see those God moments in your life, even in them little things. Watch for them and praise God for the things he has done. Something Sharon and I struggled with, and Sharon mentioned this a little. We struggle with the why has God healed Sharon, but others God has chosen to not heal. It doesn't seem fair to think of someone younger, maybe someone with young children, not getting healed, yet Sharon did. We don't understand, but I know God is good. We can't always understand. We just need to trust him. He is fair and just and good. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As I was thinking about this subject, I realized that there have been many miracles in this congregation even when the person was not healed. Think of it this way. When a brother or sister gets cancer, they realize they don't have much time, but eventually they have a joy. They are not angry or bitter, but they have this peace about them. Isn't that a miracle? The natural human response is continued anger, maybe even bitterness and despair. But to have joy and peace is supernatural. Jesus promised that wells of living water in those who believe in him. And a dying believer is filled with that living water, that peace and joy. It's supernatural. It's a miracle. When a Christian is paralyzed, yet is still smiling and not bitter, it's a miracle. When bad things happen to good people and they can rejoice in God and trust God, unbelievers recognize something supernatural is happening and they want to know about their God. It's a miracle like the calming of the sea. Sharon had a miracle of healing, but I rejoice to see the miracle of those who end life's storm. They have that peace of Jesus in their heart. When we were told the cancer was only 2 millimeters, we took it as a God moment. After all, if Sharon had not gotten an MRI, like Sharon mentioned, until the next mammogram, it would have been very large and spread into the body. And when that happens, only about 1 in 10 with triple negative live 5 years. So at the office with Dr. Mudge, I mentioned we were so glad that God had us find it when it was only 2 millimeters, when it was so small. And I remember Dr. Mudge and the nurse that was there, they kind of put their heads down and almost shook their head in opposition. And so Dr. Mudge had some explaining to do. She explained that the size depends on where they get the sample. And she used an illustration of an egg. In other words, the egg is thicker in the center. And if you sample it towards the edge, the point, it would be a lot smaller. And she was saying it depends on where the cancer was biopsied. She was saying it was biopsied at a point where it was really small. And then she said something that was even more startling. She said, "Ray, I would rather believe what I see in the MRI picture instead of that biopsy." And this time she used a bicycle wheel as an illustration. You all saw a bicycle wheel, the hub and the spokes extending from the hub. And she likened that 2 millimeter to the hub, to the middle of the bicycle wheel. And she said about a bicycle having spokes extending from the hub. She said she and the other doctors in the MRI picture saw lots of spokes. In other words, it was strings of cancer coming out from that 2 millimeter center. In other words, she was telling us the cancer was large. It had invaded the surrounding tissues. This meant it was in the lymph nodes and had spread to Sharon's body. So that is what Dr. Mudge saw on the MRI. But when they sampled the tissue after surgery, it was gone. And that's why Dr. Mudge said things that doctors usually don't say, like, "Check it again," to the pathology team. To Sharon, she said, "I'm speechless. It's amazing." She talked about a higher power in Sharon's life. And the cancer specialist was more blunt and to the point. She said, "We put the chemo port in you, Sharon, because we didn't anticipate a miracle happening." Isn't that awesome? We didn't anticipate a miracle happening. Do you ever anticipate that God could do a miracle in your life? Do you ever anticipate that God could do a miracle in your life? And you say, "Well, Ray, what happened to Sharon is an exception. That doesn't happen. Sharon's an exception. We don't see miracles happening at Pleasant Hill. Maybe you never knew of another one and you think it's happening to Sharon, but it's never going to happen again." Is that really true, what I just said? Are miracles just once every 50 years? Or have they already been happening at Pleasant Hill? And will they continue to happen? I want to give you some examples. When my daughter Melanie was 18 months old, she was always crying sitting in her high chair when Sharon wiped her hand. And Melanie, of course, had a twin sister, Melissa. She was always happy. And we thought Melanie was just grouchy, oversensitive. And that is until one day Melanie was sitting on the couch and she would not get off the couch because she could no longer walk. We took her to the doctor and she was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. And so there was a possibility she would be disfigured, that she would never be able to walk again. We had it announced as a prayer concern at this church. We had it announced as prayer concerns at other, I know at Upper Conewaga, they were praying, and much prayer ascended to God. And then we took her to John Hopkins, and I'll never forget that. The doctor, the specialist, took her back to her room, He spent a lot of time examining her. And he came back and reported to us, and he said, by looking at her reports, the previous reports, it shows that she had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. He said, but as of now, it's gone. God had healed her. But something I never forgot, I remember after that happened, someone expressing doubts. Like, maybe she really never had it. Maybe it's just a coincidence. I want to encourage us, brothers and sisters, we can't be skeptical. We can't be doubters. We need to give him the glory he deserves. Miracles happen today. I remember a couple years ago, Brother Glenn Miller mentioned to me that because of circumstances, it wasn't anything his doing, but Nunda was deeply in debt. And we knew that unless there were a couple of really good years, Nunda would probably fold. And so we were praying for Nunda. That next year, when the trees were blossoming, there was widespread frost in York, Adams, and Lancaster counties. Most orchards lost most of their peaches. There was one orchard that was an exception. Anybody want to guess? It was Nunda. And when Glenn took his peaches to the Leola auction, he got top dollar because no one else had peaches. They survived that year and were able to pay some debt down, but we kept praying. The next year, there was widespread severe storms. You know, you look at the radar and you see that orange and then you see purple, which is really bad. There was a lot of those kind of storms. Most all the orchards in York, Adams, and Lancaster counties had major hail damage. Except one orchard didn't have hail. Anybody want to guess what that was? Nunda didn't have any hail. And when Glenn took his peaches to auction, he got premium price because he was one of the few that had peaches that didn't have hail damage. And that year, Nunda was financially secure. God answered prayers. He performed miracles in two consecutive years. And so, yes, God does do miracles today. Back in 2008, there was a brother from Pleasant Hill had thyroid cancer. He asked to be anointed, and the doctors found out later that the cancer was gone. And the minister, I never forget, the minister that anointed him said that he felt a warmth flowing through his hands as he prayed for this brother during the anointing. And if any of you have trouble believing the stories I'm telling you, you can talk to me after church, and I'll give you the names of the people I'm talking about. I just didn't want to do it publicly. Another brother needed a heart operation. The doctor said it was impossible for the heart to get better on its own. That's why he had to have an operation. So before the surgery, he was anointed, but because of the anointing, he was healed and didn't need surgery. The hands of God performed a miracle again. You see, it is God who said to the storm, "Peace be still," to the Sea of Galilee. And the same God commanded the cold to depart from Nunda. He commanded the severe storms to go around Nunda. That same God said to the breast and thyroid cancer, "Be gone," and it was gone. So let's not be skeptical. Let's not doubt. Let's not rule God out of the picture. He is here today. What about the time? Now, this is recent, not too long ago. Remember, we were praying for a school principal. Remember how everyone we thought would be good for it, when we went to them, they turned us down. Remember, it seemed hopeless. Remember how the school board felt during that time. But we all kept praying. And God did a miracle. He took a man, young man from Oregon. He moved him to North Carolina. He attended Pleasant Hill a couple of times. The Lord worked in his life. He joined our church. When he was attending here, he heard the announcement that we needed a school principal. And he said to the school board, "Would you be interested in me trying out for the school principal job?" God is amazing. God always answers prayer. Today, miracles of healing a child, miracles of protecting an orchard, of bringing a school principal from Oregon. And I'm sure you could tell a lot more. We have an awesome God. Are you ready for more miracles? God is. I think if we could witness the miracles in the Old Testament, I think most of us would put Moses' encounter with God, where the Lord, remember, the Lord came down to him on the top of the mountain. I mean, that was one we would like to be there. What would this supernatural event have been like? You know, to be in the presence of God on top of the mountain. Do we realize the miracle that God has done, that you can be in the presence of God? We each have that God moment of the actions taken in Gethsemane and Calvary for us. We can each boast about that Jesus died for me. It's a God moment that each of us have, infinitely greater than healing Sharon from cancer. He gave us a new nature. He dwells in us. Scripture says that we dwell in Christ. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love him, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And it says, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So for believers, the Trinity makes its home within us. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord. We are being transferred into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We are in his presence as believers, just like Moses. He wants to do the miracle of giving us a new heart with a relationship with him. He wants to do that miracle of the living water in you. He desires to do the miracle of a changed nature, removing death and giving life to each of us, removing the veil between you and God, and that we can see God face to face. Brothers and sisters, he wants you. He wants your heart. God wants to. But many times as Christians, we put walls up. We trust our heritage instead of him. We trust our righteousness instead of that relationship with him. We give him small sacrifices. When, brothers and sisters, he wants our heart. God wants to still the storm. He wants to be in our boat. But too many times as Christians, we don't have room for Jesus. Where are you? Where is your heart? God gave Sharon physical life. But God wants to do something even greater with us. He wants us to have his spiritual life, that joy, that relationship with him, that excitement and zeal and emotion and security in him. The veil between us and God is down. And we can just say hallelujah. We can know God. He hears our heart, and we can touch his heart. We have something so great to praise God about, even in the midst of tragedy and sickness and cancer and disability and whatever else it is that God has allowed in our life. Even so, God is good because God died for me. Do you believe that? Amen. God is good because God died for me. In closing, I want to say, my goal for tonight was to fulfill Psalms 66:5. And that was Sharon's goal, where it says, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of men. May we continue to praise him for all the things that he has done.
It was good to be here this evening. to hear the testimonies. Thanks, Sharon, for sharing tonight, and Brother Ray. Praise the Lord. What more can we say? One way we exercise our faith is by giving testimony, like Ray and Sharon did this evening, telling what God has done for us, and not just for physical healing, but for spiritual healing. And I think we can all say it was good to be here. One of my favorite verses is found in the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. I think it's verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I believe that word diligent would imply that we make an extra effort. Are we diligent in coming out to services like this? Are we diligent in our morning devotions? Or are we diligent in our prayer life and seeking God? I know I could be more diligent. I'm sure Ray and Sharon did a lot of seeking God during this trial in their life. And I believe that's what God wants. When we really seek God, I believe he does answer our prayers. And I'd like to hear a sermon sometime on the rewards of seeking God. That would be a good sermon for one of you ministers. Maybe one of you can take that up. But it was good to be here tonight. And let's stand for closing prayer.